You see them everywhere. Dogs that look kind of like this breed, but sort of like that breed. Schnoodles and Puggles, Yorkie Poos and Golden Doodles. They're designer dogs, hybrids, and they've been around for, well, depends on who you ask. Who we're asking today is Gary Garner, who along with his wife Sheila founded the American Canine Hybrid Club back in 1992. But Gary's experience with producing hybrids started back in 1969. Welcome, Gary. Welcome to Good Dog.
Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. Tell me about how you began with all this back in 1969.
We had a Samoyed. We were living in Alaska, and we had a Samoyed, and the neighbor had a Husky, and we just thought they would make a nice combination, and they did.
So you literally just bred your dog with your neighbor's dog and created what some might say is the first hybrid.
First with us, anyway. I'm sure it wasn't the first because, you know, some of those like Peek-a-Poo and Cock-a-Poo have probably been around 100 years.
Well, it's so funny that you should mention Peek-a-Poo and Cock-a-Poo because I currently have a Peek-a-Poo. That would be Lulu. And the Good Dog Podcast is dedicated to the memory of my Cock-a-Poo who died this past March. So
some of that.
Pardon me?
I read some of that.
There you go. So I have experience with both of those hybrids, as it were, although I don't know if either of these dogs were technically hybrids. So what's the definition of a hybrid dog?
With us, the hybrid must be from two purebred parents or the first generation produced from that first generation from two different purebred parents.
And why is that, Gary?
We don't want them breeding successive generations because you can't lock in the traits as you would like to. And that's one of the things about a hybrid is that there are no absolute definite traits for them. We're often asked, you know, well, you know, what should a Peek-a-Poo look like? Well, it could look more like a poodle, it could look more like a Pekingese, or it can look like, hopefully, you know, perfect combination.
Right, and I think mine just looks like herself. I'm not quite sure that if you looked at her.
That's probably correct.
You know, because she's fourth generation.
Okay.
Which actually, ironically enough, when we got her, and we didn't get her from a professional breeder, but just a family, we thought, oh, this is great. She's really a Peek-a-Poo. And in fact, the reverse is true.
Well, we would allow, you know, successive generation breedings that way if we have them in our database. But people will come along and tell us, you know, well, I've got a Peek-a-Poo and it's third or fourth or fifth generation, and I want to cross it back to either a poodle or a Pekingese, and can I do that? And we tell them, we're sorry, we can't do that because it's not in our database. And that's one of the things that distinguishes American Canine Hybrid Club from just, I guess you would say, a mutt registry, is that, you know, we do document the dogs. And let me explain, when I say mutt, I'm not disparaging mutts, because I've owned them and loved them as much as any purebred or hybrid.
Absolutely.
It's just that with a genuine hybrid, as we register them, you do know the ancestry. And with a mutt, generally we don't.
What is the advantage of that to the dog owner?
You mean of knowing the ancestry, knowing that it's from two different purebreds?
Yes.
It's that you have some general idea of what the characteristics may be. Now, I realize you can reach out and get two dogs that are so totally different that when you combine them, you would have no idea what they come, you know, what they're going to produce. But like just like you're talking about your Peek-a-Poo, both Pekingese and Poodles are very gentle dogs generally. People generally know their attitude, their personalities, and you can be pretty well assured that the offspring will be that.
So when you bred the Samoyed to the Husky, you thought, oh, this will make a nice dog. You didn't have anything particular in mind, right?
No, we didn't. In fact, we weren't deeply involved in dog breeding or anything at that time, and it was just a novel thing for us to do.
But some number of years later, like what, about 8 years later, you started your first kennel.
We started raising dogs professionally, and we raised several breeds at that time, and we realized there was a demand for some hybrids. Such as, the Peek-a-Poo and the Cock-a-Poo are probably the two oldest and probably best well-known. And we thought since we were raising those, then we might as well cross the different breeds. And we've always furnished pedigrees on all of our purebred dogs. When we raised purebred dogs, we always, because they were always registered, and we always furnished pedigrees, so we thought it only logical to go ahead and furnish pedigrees on these dogs.
Are you the only people doing that in the United States?
I don't think we are. There are several other minor registries in the country, and I understand some of them will register hybrids. Now, how they label them or whether they furnish pedigrees or not, I don't know.
What's interesting is there a point at which a hybrid becomes a breed, for instance, the Cock-a-Poo?
It would take many, many, many generations.
So we're not there yet.
Of dedicated breeding that way. I listened to your interview with the AKC representative, Lisa Peterson.
Yes.
And she stated it very correctly that, you know, it takes many generations or sometimes even a century or two to absolutely fix the qualities of a breed. And it takes a lot of different breeders to do it, or otherwise you end up with a very small gene pool to work with.
So you've been
it's really
this...
a dedicated process.
I see. So you've been at this through the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, but you mentioned to me just before we began recording today that in the last couple of years you've been interviewed by something like 200 different journalists for media ranging from local newspapers right on through to national press. Why the sudden interest in hybrid dogs?
I think it's because people suddenly realized there was something else out there by watching TV, and so many celebrities have appeared on talk shows and mentioned or even brought on, you know, their hybrid dog, that it just created interest.
So there's no correlation here with hybrid golf clubs or hybrid cars?
I don't think so. I think people have just seen others with it. You know, like Stallone, I understand, you know, I believe he's got a Puggle, but I'm not sure. But several celebrities have appeared on TV, and it seems like every time they do, we get calls, you know, well, where can I find such and such a dog?
And you can find all of these dogs now, right?
You can, most of them.
Okay.
Some are produced so rarely and so seldom that it might be hard to find one. We've registered a total of over 400 combinations, but of that 400, probably 50 are done normally, you know, or perpetually, I guess you would say, continually.
As opposed to instances where you just did it one time, and
many of them may have only been done once or twice, and they may have done that simply because they had a male and a female of two different breeds, and they may have also just wanted to see what it would produce. We don't encourage that. We would like them to do it, you know, very deliberately and for a specific purpose in mind. But we realize that sometimes, you know, they may have a female in season and don't have a male of that type.
Someone who has always owned non-shedding dogs, and while I didn't know that, in fact, they were hybrids, or I didn't call them hybrids or designer dogs or anything else, they've all had some poodle in them, and none of them have been purebred poodles. So in my mind, one of the chief reasons to breed two different dogs and create a hybrid is to mix some other breed with poodles so that you end up with a dog that doesn't shed. Is that one of the main reasons people breed these dogs?
That's why the poodle and also the Bichon Frise are probably the two most popular ones used for crosses, for hybrids. But now that isn't always a guarantee. If you cross, take the poodle for instance, and if you cross the poodle with a Pekingese, you could still get a dog that sheds because a Pekingese will shed.
And so,
and since yours doesn't, you know, you're lucky.
Right. So too, if you breed a poodle, for instance, with a lab or with a golden retriever.
Yes.
But generally speaking, they're going to shed, if at all, less.
That's correct. Now, as you may know, the Labradoodle was actually developed in Australia.
I am aware of that, but let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay. And of course, the ones that they register in Australia, contrary to in America, they have developed a line so they produce a dog like they want that produces consistently. And then probably in their minds, it is a purebred dog now. In America, and even with our club, we do not require that. So, you know, because you get a poodle crossed with a lab doesn't mean you're going to get a non-shedding, you know, lab-looking dog.
Now, is there a difference between the Labradoodle that one would get from Australia versus one that was bred here in the United States?
If you buy one in the United States that's from the line developed in Australia, then you should get that type dog. But if you just buy one just because it's called a Labradoodle, there's no guarantee that it will not shed or that won't be, you know, people won't be allergic to it.
But so there's no guarantee ever, is there?
No, there isn't. Except I understand that those in Australia, those particular lines that they're registering, that they guarantee they won't shed and that they're hypoallergenic.
So if you have a problem, you ship them back?
that I don't know.
Do you recommend purchasing a dog from overseas, or would you recommend trying to get a dog from a breeder as close as possible to where you live?
If it's a hybrid, personally, I would probably want to see the dogs that it came from.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always recommend going to a breeder, but it's never a bad idea to go to a breeder.
In other words, we
don't discourage going to a pet shop either. But if a breeder is local and you have a chance, we would certainly recommend that you go at least check out the dogs in person.
Well, just as an aside, I know because people do a lot of searching now on the internet for breeders. Do you discourage people from ordering a dog from elsewhere where the dog has to actually be shipped?
No, we don't. We leave that up to the individual.
Okay. So it can be done safely and responsibly.
Right. And if they ask us, we generally tell them, you know, that we don't get involved in the business end of the operation, that we are documentation, and that's what we try to maintain.
I know you're based in Arkansas, right?
That's correct.
And what kind of hybrid dogs are you breeding now?
We don't breed any now.
Okay.
we quit breeding dogs probably 5 years ago.
And now you just talk about them, or what are you doing now?
We also, the reason we started American Canine Hybrid Club in 1992 is that we started America's Pet Registry Incorporated in 1992. And it's a purebred dog registry. And all of those dogs base their heritage back to AKC. So we had the database written for the purebred dogs. And we thought, well, gee, while we're doing this for purebred dogs, why not go ahead and put a provision in here for the hybrids and start issuing the registration papers on them?
Never knowing, I'm sure, back then, how popular hybrids would become.
We never dreamed it would be. Never, ever, imagined it would be what it is today.
So you say you've got over 400 combinations registered.
Yes, and I believe we probably add one every week or two.
Unbelievable. So I don't know if this is even a reasonable question to ask you, Gary, but what are some of the more successful mixes which, you know, create dogs that are particularly lovable family pets?
Currently, the Puggle is number one and has been for about 3 years.
And that's Puggle is a cross between what and what?
A Beagle and a Pug.
A Beagle and a Pug. So I'm thinking, what are some of the traits?
They shed.
They do shed.
Okay.
That is definitely one.
They will shed, yes, because both Pugs and Beagles shed. The Beagle is a great kid's dog. You know, everybody loves Snoopy.
Right.
And it's a lovable dog. It's a sturdy dog. You can roughhouse with it and all. And you get a lot of that then in the Puggle. And the Pug is a little more reserved. And a lot of people don't like that short nose. So when you cross it with a Beagle, you get almost uniformly a nose in the middle, in between.
Okay, so do they look more like Beagles or more like Pugs?
They look like neither.
Neither?
They look like, the first generation looks like a miniature Mastiff, actually.
Really?
Usually has a wrinkled face, and some people call them miniature Mastiffs. And they're uniformly fawn with a black mask, or they're either black, depending on if you used, black Pugs.
Right.
For the first generation. Now, we have registered some second and third generation Puggles, and we could get back into some party colors like the Beagle is then.
Party
but they
colors.
still look, probably of all the hybrids we register, the Puggle probably is more uniform throughout than any of the others.
Do they have the little curly cute tail?
Slightly.
Okay, and what about the scrunched up face?
They all have wrinkles on their face, mm-hmm. like a Mastiff would have. But they have a longer nose, of course, than the Pug.
And are they somewhere in between the size of a Pug and a standard Beagle?
They will range probably anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds, depending on the size of the parents.
It's a good-sized dog. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Puggles. And what about Schnoodles? What is that, a Schnauzer and a Poodle?
Schnauzer and a Poodle. And of course, they can come in three sizes, because there are three sizes of Poodles and three sizes of Schnauzers.
Okay.
You've got the miniature Schnauzer, the standard Schnauzer, and the giant Schnauzer, and then you've got the toy, the miniature, and the standard Poodle.
So you can go any which way there.
You go any which, right.
So that
and
right.
Some people will cross the small a toy Poodle with a larger breed to get something in between. You know, they may even cross a toy Poodle with a Labrador Retriever to get a smaller Labradoodle.
Now, in terms of what people pay to purchase hybrid dogs, is it generally analogous to what you would pay for a purebred?
It's in the same ballpark.
So what are we talking about?
Well, when Puggles were the most popular, I would find them on the internet anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500.
Wow!
And a Beagle is one of the cheapest puppies you can buy, so that really raised the price of that part of the dog.
What about a Labradoodle or a Golden Doodle?
I don't know what they're going for right now, but until recently they were going anywhere from $800 to $1,500.
It's not cheap.
No, they're not. I'm sure as a breed, becomes less popular, then they'll either breed fewer of them, or the price will go down, which consequently will cause them to breed fewer of them.
What are some of your other favorite hybrid dogs?
Oh, almost anything crossed with a Poodle or, like I say, a Bichon. I've got a list in front of me, but I didn't highlight any what we call popular ones, but the Shih Tzu crossed with a Poodle is very popular. The Lhasa Apso crossed with a Poodle, or either a Bichon.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lhasa is almost a non-shedding dog. The Shih Tzu is a non-shedding dog.
Right.
So use either one of those. And of course, as you mentioned, the miniature Schnauzer is a non-shedding dog. And it crossed with those. It's pretty popular.
Yorkshire Terriers and Poodles, I've seen. Yorkie Poos.
Oh, yes. Yorkie Poos.
I think part of it is that people just like these names, right?
Well, that's probably part of it. They want to, you know, they want to be seen on the street, and somebody say, well, gee, what kind of dog is that? And they want to, you know, throw an unusual name at them.
Yeah, whenever people ask me what my dog is, I always say, oh, she's a mutt, you know, she's a mixture of a few things. We're not quite sure exactly what. Our very first dog was a Shih Tzu Poodle Terrier mix, and that would imply, of course, that it took three dogs to make him, which it didn't, but I think one parent was a Poodle Shih Tzu and one was a Poodle Terrier.
Okay.
And he ended up being just perfectly proportioned, looked kind of like Toto, cute little black and white dog with a lot of attitude. You know, so I think, you know, you can really do very well with these dogs. Now, have there been any mixes that afterward you said, you know, this wasn't probably a good idea?
Well, I haven't seen this one, and I'm often asked when interviewed, you know, what is the most unusual hybrid that we've registered, and I really think it is a Chihuahua crossed with a Dalmatian. I haven't seen one.
I'm trying to imagine what that would look
well,
like.
Well, I can't imagine either, but I think that's probably it's the most unusual that we've done.
Now, did someone give that dog a name?
Yes, let me look it up. Chimation.
A Chimation, of course.
Chimation, sure.
Why would I even ask? What are some of the other names of combinations?
Oh, you got the Dachshund and the Chihuahua, and it's a Chiweenie. I'm looking at all the Maltese and the Chihuahuas as a Malchi. I'm just happy looking at Chihuahuas right now. Miniature Pinscher and a Chihuahua is a Chipin, I guess. Looking at Beagles. Now, Beagle has been crossed with a lot of dogs, you know, a lot of other breeds, too. And you got a Beagle and a Bichon, and they call it a Glechon, G-L-E-C-H-O-N. Beagle and a Boston Terrier is a Boglin Terrier. Well, by the way, the names, we allow the first breeder to register a particular hybrid to name that hybrid.
Oh, so now there must be a rush. Everybody wants to be first to come up with a new...
There's been a lot, but now once we accept a name... then we keep that name from then on. So whoever else crosses it has to use that name.
So are you the main arbiter of all this in the United States?
Not necessarily. We sometimes hear from people who say, well, we've been breeding this, you know, this cross for quite a while ourselves, and we call it something else. And once or twice we've changed the name because we felt like there were several people doing it and using a different name. But normally we just tell them, you know, well, you can call it anything you want because we register the ones that we, you know, that are sent in to us, and those that aren't don't show up anyway in our database.
Mm-hmm.
So some people may be breeding a particular hybrid and calling it something different.
I know that we've done a number of shows with folks at Guide Dogs for the Blind, and I understand that I believe it's Labradoodles or perhaps Golden Doodles are being bred now to be guide dogs for that very reason. Some people are allergic or not wanting to deal with the shedding dogs.
I believe that's correct.
So I'm wondering if, in general, that there are any other potential uses to society of these hybrid dogs, or if it's really just about having interesting pets.
I think it's just having a pet. And for people who may be, you know, listening to this or read this, there is a website called Dog Breed Info. One word, dogbreedinfo.com. And the lady that runs that in Pennsylvania keeps up with all of the hybrids, including all that are registered with us, plus some that other people may do that don't even register with us. So anybody can go to that website and look at probably most all the hybrids being produced right now.
And does she also on that website describe anything about what you'll get with the combination, even though I know it's not an absolute science?
She does if it's provided. Now, we don't provide that information to her. She contacts us regularly for updates. Like I say, you know, we add one every week or so. And we provide that to her, but we do not provide descriptions or recommendations on the dogs.
Okay. Tell us about a few more of the hybrids that you have registered.
Oh, anything in particular you'd like to know about? Any purebred, for instance.
Any purebred with any other purebred, right?
Well, we've got a Bichon. I mentioned Bichons quite a bit. We've got a Bichon crossed with a Jack Russell, and they call it a Jackie Bichon. We have a Bichon crossed with a Japanese Chin. They call it just Chin. Miniature Schnauzer is a Kronauzer. Some of these, I'm not sure I can pronounce correctly. And of course, with the Pekingese, it's a Pekingese.
Right, of course.
As you would expect. I don't know. I'm just looking at this whole list, and it's so long, it's hard to pick anything in particular out.
Do you have a dog of your own, Gary?
We have four, but they're purebred.
What do you have?
We have two Yorkshire Terriers and two Silkie Terriers.
Oh, nice. But little dogs, little lap dogs, right?
Yes, right. And we've had hybrids of our own. We created our own breed deliberately with them from a Yorkshire Terrier and a West Highland White Terrier.
And what did you call that?
And we called it a Fush, F-O-U-R-C-H-E, Fush Terrier. But the reason we called it that, the name comes from the name of our kennel. And the valley we live in is called Fush Valley Kennel. And so, I mean, Fush Valley, so we named it Fush Valley Kennel. And so, consequently, we just called it Fush Terrier.
And is there someone still breeding those?
We get a few coming in. Not very many. We get a lot of requests from people who owned one of ours in the past asking if we still produce them, and of course we don't. But they were great little dogs. Fortunately, they didn't shed. A West Highland White Terrier does shed. But they got the non-shedding from the Yorkie, and they seem to have got a little more spunk from the Westie. So they weighed, you know, anywhere from 7 to 11 pounds. And they were just great little dogs. We kept two of those as pets until they died.
Is there any part of the country where there are more people breeding hybrid dogs or more reputable people breeding hybrid dogs?
Most of them that we register are from professional breeders throughout the Midwest, and that's simply because most of the dog breeders breeding professionally are in the Midwest. But most of them are breeding, you know, several purebreds, and then they just do the hybrids as a sideline or because it's popular right now.
Our
largest breeder of hybrids is in Wisconsin, and he's appeared on CBS Sunday Morning News along with us when they did a story. And they visited his kennel and showed his kennel and some of his puppies and all. And he's the creator of the Puggle, by the way. And since then he's wished he had copyrighted the name or something because it's become so popular that everybody's doing it. But he also created his own breed called a miniature St. Bernard. And there's no St. Bernard in the dog at all, but it really does look like a toy St. Bernard.
Interesting.
We aren't even allowed. It's more than one breed to make that hybrid, and we aren't even allowed to divulge, you know, which he used in it. We do furnish a pedigree, but on the pedigree, we don't tell the breeds of the parents on that one.
It's like getting a patent on something, right?
Almost. And he's considered doing it. I don't know if he'll succeed or not.
I guess so. So you think the sky's the limit with this, or will there be an end to all the various permutations and combinations?
There's got to be an end to the combination someday, I think. But, you know, if you figure there's, you know, 400 to 600 purebred dogs throughout the world, many of them, you know, aren't even in America, you know, it's almost limitless, you know, if you cross them exponentially.
Great. Tell me your website, Gary, because people can learn a lot about hybrids at the American Canine Hybrid Club website as well.
Okay. ACH Club, ACHCLUB.com. And our parent organization, America's Pet Registry, Inc., is APRPets.org. We were originally nonprofit. It's no longer a nonprofit, but we kept the org since everybody knew it. APRPETS.org.
All right, so I'm gonna repeat those three websites that you've mentioned. One is dogbreedinfo.com.
Yes.
The second is your site, which is ACHclub.com, and that stands for American Canine Hybrid Club.
Yes.
And then the site of your parent company, which is the American Pet Registry, is APRPets.org.
And it's America's Possessive.
America's Pet Registry. Excellent. Gary Garner, thanks so much for being with us today.
I appreciate this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Good Dog Podcast, the only podcast, I might add, with an embedded audio channel that only dogs can hear. And finally, we'd love to hear from you directly, and I promise to write back to each and every one of you. Simply send an email to me, Joanne Green. Write it to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.